Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Kyle Dunnigan. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, a spirited round of Blah Blah Blog, and a big announcement from BetOnline's Dave Mason. And now, the best a man can get, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning. Thanks for sharing. It's free. Turn it on the podcast to a friend. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Guys wrestle with other guys.
Yes, they do.
The best is the half beat between the last guys. Other guys.
That's right. Jesus Christ. Good. Yeah, the war started. Oh, I saw it firsthand with my goofball fucking hippie mom that it's always been a war on whatever is.
She was on the vanguard.
Yeah. Just this sort of thing of like, what's going on? Guys do this, chicks do that. It's really none of this toxic masculinity or any of this fucking nonsense. None of it is steeped in any kind of wisdom at all. It's zero wisdom. And it will hold up again as much as the food pyramid does now, established in 1969 or whatever. It'll all fall apart. It'll fucking fall apart like margarine versus butter. It'll all fucking fall apart. And the reason some guy, you know, the guy invented the football helmet over there wanted to do something. Yep. Something was wrong. He wanted to fix it. Yeah. He got scientists together. They fucking fixed it. Or if they didn't fix it, they went a long way toward fixing it. This is a bunch of pissed off assholes who are mad at their fucking dads who are just pushing against any ideas, any notions, or anything that came before them. So, thus, you're always going to get the wrong answer.
Wait, aren't you a pissed off asshole? Mad at your dad?
I'm pissed off. I'm an asshole. I'm mad at my dad. I'm also an atheist who doesn't replace it with nonsense. I'm right. Just an atheist.
You don't label it.
I don't fucking replace it with veganism or
some cause.
Whatever cause de jour is. I'm just an atheist. I don't try to talk other people out of their religion. I don't dislike them. I don't get into arguments about, what do you mean man is good or evil? Or what's to prevent me from killing? I don't do any of that. I'm just a fucking quiet atheist.
Yeah.
That's, I'm a loud atheist.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I don't,
not quiet.
I'm not
yeah,
here.
Quiet. Far from it.
I'm not here to change. I don't like my dad, but I'm not here to fucking fix every other guy with a beard and gray hair because he reminds me of my dad. This is chick realm and dudes who look like and feel like and act like chick realm. This thing the world becomes your fucking stepdad who is whatever. Now you have to either break into tears in line at the Gelson's or be an excruciatingly cunty to somebody who's trying to get through TSA and is in a hurry because they remind you of some authority or some person. We should all knock that off a little bit. All right.
Here we are.
But yes, I am.
That's everyone's resolution.
You can
sweet
check
job, Brian.
All those check all those boxes with me and then attempt to not impose any of it on guys who remind me of my dad and or my mom and give the kids a hug. All right. Something interesting. A few interesting things. I got a toxic masculinity thing. I got a white privilege Jerry Seinfeld thing. I got lots of things. First, I want to thank Lowe's at Lowe's.com/Adam. This half of the show and betonline.ag. Enter podcast one. Pacquiao versus Broner this Saturday. I'll be watching 9 o'clock on Showtime. Tell you about that in a minute. So, so funny. We're talking about toxic masculinity the day before, and then I switched it on TV last night, and I switched on to the last. Or sort of the very beginning of Karate Kid 2,
yes.
Which is
speaking of which,
which was the end of Karate Kid 1, but they lopped it off and they put it
the parking lot segment
right. Yeah. And then I thought, wait a minute, I think Kreese has to be the poster boy for toxic masculinity.
He embodies it.
He is because he is the most toxic masculine guy on the planet. There's also things that are funny, but.
He's a bully. He's an alpha male. He's all the things that we don't want these days.
And and also in terms of acting, if you look at these old style movies, it was like, hey, boss, what are we doing? Hey, I'll tell you what, boys. What are we gonna do? All right, boss. Yeah. It was like, boom, bam, bam, boom. And they go through like 19 pages of dialogue in 45 seconds.
Right. His Girl Friday.
And then Edward G. Robinson.
And then that sort of methody Brando, Stanislavski
embody the character.
And people start slowing it way down. And we got used to a much more slower Mickey Rourke-y kind of pace later on.
Like, but Mickey Rourke.
If you listen...
I'm with you, man.
If you listen to Kreese when he's like delivering these lines, and the kid he's going back and forth with,
is Johnny, right?
Yeah, Johnny. Billy Zabka. Yeah, it is old timey 30s movie pace. You guys have to just listen at first the beginning part, which I love, which is. 2 9-year-olds come up, and it starts with him outside. He's got the knee busted up. He's towing a giant trophy. Him and Miyagi have just won the All-Valley Tournament, and they're walking back to the car. And there's a first funny part that makes me laugh. Here we go.
Hey, wait.
Hey,
all right, yeah, man. Oh, how you guys doing?
Macho.
Okay.
Oh, yeah? Where are you from?
Reseda.
I'm from Reseda.
Right. Here's the thing. When you're nine,
the old valley.
Well, also when you're nine, everyone's from Reseda because the tournament's in Reseda, and you had to walk there.
Yeah. Like, it's not outrageous.
What part of Nova Scotia? So
Reykjavik.
You're as far as you can get on your skateboard, which is up the street. But it was a big deal. Everyone's from Reseda. And then later on, now in a few seconds, you're going to hear Kreese. And just listen to the pace.
I was there a couple months ago.
Maybe we'll see you sometime.
All right. What?
Come. Getting late.
It's the price of fame, Mr. Miyagi. Gotta get used to it. Take it easy. Maybe I'll see you.
Don't enjoy your victory.
Second place. Second place is no place. You're off the team.
That sucks. I did my best.
What did you say?
I said I did my best.
You're nothing. You lost. You're a loser.
No, you're the loser, man.
I'm the loser, huh?
Yeah.
Now who's a loser?
You know, you're really sick, man.
Hey!
Oh. Hey. Chuckle. LA students.
Wow.
Punching students.
How's second place feel now, huh? Come on,
feels like I can't say I don't like it because there's no air passing through my lungs.
He's sorry, okay? He really is.
I like the part where he belts another student.
Yeah, the bystander.
Yeah.
Who said, hey.
Oh, backhand.
Let him go. Beat it slow.
Beat it slow.
Hold on. The greatest... The part that always makes me laugh the hardest is the general conceit is if he doesn't win the All-Valley Tournament, then membership will go down in his dojo with all the parents signing up the neighborhood kids for his dojo.
You came in second? Oh, not for my little son.
I would argue that physically assaulting students in public will also decrease membership in your dojo.
Word gets around.
Decrease. Like if you said, hey, like if I went home and said to Lynette, hey, we're looking at we've narrowed it down to two dojos for Sonny.
Oh, great.
One of them, the kid won on a fluke at the All-Valley Tournament. The other's a perennial all-star in the All-Valley Tournament. He did take silver last year.
Oh.
But here's
the
rub. Tournaments.
The sensei beats the fuck out of every student in the parking lot barefisted.
Right, but they won gold the last nine tournaments.
Well, they took the gold. They took that... Trophy, busted it over his knee, and he threw it at somebody.
He demands excellence.
Then he called the Asian guy, Slope, who was the captain from the other dojo. So when
we have to pick a dojo,
all right. Wait, you got to rewind it because
beat it, Slope.
You still need the part where it's off camera, where he's like, second place, nothing. I came in second place. Second place, nothing. Hey,
you're nothing. You're a loser.
Just turn it up. It makes me laugh how much dialogue they got in. Also, they do something in movies that I forget. They only do in movies, which is if somebody said, they do it in all movies. They'll never do it in real life.
Okay.
If somebody says to me, if I'm walking from the hotel to the Uber with Mike August and somebody goes, oh, Ace Man, could you sign an autograph? I don't write ADAMC and have Mike August go, hey, we're running late. Like he's standing there. He knows
you're moving it along.
There's a person. I'm going to finish in 3/10 of a second. We're going to the Uber. Like then I'll go, it's getting late. We got to get going. Like, why would you say that? I'm signing one autograph.
Yeah. This interaction is going to take
8 seconds.
All right. Here we go. Sorry.
Come on, that's not fair. I got second place.
Second place? Second place is no place. You're off the team.
That sucks. I did my best.
What did you say?
I said I did my best.
You're nothing. You lost. You're a loser.
No, you're the loser, man.
Oh, I'm the loser, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
now
your trouble.
Yeah.
Now
no, you're
who's
really
the loser.
Sick, man. Hey! Hey, come on!
The solar plexus.
How does second place feel now, huh?
He's talked his heart.
Worry. Mind your business.
Kill him.
Mind your, mind your business.
You're trying to choke a 14-year-old.
Okay? He really is.
Oi. Let him go.
Yeah, this Leon is right. Let him go.
No, backhand.
Say, let him go. Beat it, slow. Or you're next.
Yeah. There's also something that no one ever does, which is like punch through things
Duke's
and
up.
Keep punching. Standing with his hands there.
Right there. Oh, right through the window.
He's also, hold on a second.
He's a jock.
For a guy who's done four tours in Vietnam, he's unusually upset over the superficial cuts on his knuckles.
He held a friend's head. Like
while they
detached.
Died,
no, detached. I mean,
oh yeah, or
just
guts
the
were spilled
literally
out.
That.
Yeah. But also, like anybody who beats on a heavy bag long enough will get like bloody knuckles. He hits the one car window and he looks at his own blood. And
blood.
He's like, oh my God, blood! And then he does the next one. And he sees blood times two, and now he's completely.
He's thrown.
Utterly thrown. Here we go. Sorry, I'll push the button. He's staring at his hand. Saw some confidence. Now he's coming with the right cross.
Yes! Two bloody hands.
How'd he come back from that?
Hold on. You know there was some conversation with some husband and wife that that followed each other there? Like, no, sweetie, park next to me. Would you put the Buick next? No, put it. I don't want it in the back. Remember that time we put it in the back and it got keyed? You park next to me. I'll keep the spot next to you open. We'll park right next to each other.
I don't want to get blocked in again. We're at the All Valley Tournament after all.
We're right up front. That's right.
We're at the North Valley Tournament.
So now he's got both hands bleeding and he's freaked out.
Mercy is for the weak. We do not train to be merciful.
Funny how easily Kreese got freaked out.
You, he is enemy. Enemy deserve no mercy.
He's so scared.
Holds up.
He's still scared.
Honks his nose. He passed out.
Wow.
I went through four tours in Nam. I don't know.
Maybe he passed out when the firefight started. That's how he survived.
Sometimes you just got to expose the bully. Oh,
you're nothing. You're zero, okay?
I'm okay.
I just love that. Let's see. What do we got line?
Pretty good.
So anyway, I thought Kreese's actions at the beginning of Karate Kid 2 were the most toxic of all masculine,
oh,
right?
Oh, please.
You're right. No, no.
Some enterprising listener, please mash up the Gillette commercial with some of that footage. That's the toxic masculinity we got to stamp out.
I think between Kreese and Biff in the super, super hardcore rape scene in Back to the Future, those are your two toxic masculinity poster boys.
Hey, Jeff from Connecticut.
Hey, how you guys doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, hey, how close are you to the Foxwoods Casino?
I'm actually only about 20 minutes away, and I'm going to see your show on the 8th.
Oh, good. All right. Well, say hi after the show.
All right.
All right.
Let's go. I was listening to your rant yesterday about toxic masculinity and about how guys, you know, that go off about that and, you know, are basically the guys that never won in anything and always got beat up. And it reminded me that I was reading this book called Tribe. It's by Sebastian Younger, and he's talking about guys that literally had nothing to offer society, that couldn't hunt, they couldn't fight, so they were basically viewed as useless by their tribe, and they were either somehow extricated from the tribe or I guess got killed somehow or just left on their own. And I realized that the guys you were talking about are those guys nowadays. They have nothing to offer. So they have to sound off about, you know, the whole toxic masculinity thing and to kind of combat their own feelings of inadequacy. Because nobody's going to, you know, really kill them nowadays. It's not tribal anymore. But those are those guys.
I hear what you're saying.
Only present day.
I got the message.
Yeah, they could always do drops on a podcast.
Yeah.
But back in the day, they didn't have that technology.
Very handy.
I'm with you. I'm with me. It
it was very abundantly evident to me as I saw my mom not compete in life, that she didn't like competition because, well, look, competition is pretty straightforward. If you feel like you're going to win the fight or the race or the spelling bee or whatever, you're definitely in for a winner. And if you feel like you're going to come in last, then you're not so down with it. And obviously more people lose the spelling bee than win the spelling bee or the foot race or the fist fight or the car race or whatever it is. So there is always a larger group of people who are down with it. You know, when people say, hey, we should tack $2 onto the price of a pack of cigarettes to pay for the health, blah, 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 blah. Well, okay, since only 18% of people smoke, there's going to be an overwhelming majority who go, yeah, it's a good idea. I'm down with that. That's the kind of scary part sometimes of a society where you have a larger group of people going, eh, well, we're going to do this because we don't think it would work if we did it or what have you. Yes, Gina.
So Brett, would you consider the, you know, the sort of incel super crazy and angry troll dude online, like the exception to the toxic masculinity rule? You know, the guy who he, like this guy was saying, you don't really have a lot to offer. Maybe you don't really have a lot to offer the ladies. Maybe they're not biting. Maybe you're casting a wide net. Nobody's interested. So you go full throttle online with, you know, these crazy harassment campaigns or just spewing bullshit that people are like, huh? What's wrong with you? Are you okay? Is this a cry for help? You know, what's up with that dude?
I'm not interested in the sort of top 1% or the bottom 1%. Mm-hmm. I feel like you have to throw those out.
Right.
The crazies, you know, you have to go in any time you're trying to sort of study a pattern or society or what direction we may go or what direction we should go. There's always outliers. They're just sort of nut jobs who are on the web all day with hatred. And then there's other folks in other directions. I'm never really that interested in those. I don't think it behooves us to give those people a platform, and by give them a platform, I mean acknowledge their existence in some major whatever. Like I have my neighborhood, people are pretty good about picking up their dog shit. Mm.
But throwing it down a hill in an easement.
That's right. But
doing the right thing.
But you do. I do throw it in the trash cans now. Or the easement,
do
depending.
You? Okay.
Well, I get it.
If it's raining.
It always gets picked up.
I know.
And it either goes in my trash can, someone's trash can, which I don't like. I like it when it's the trash can on the way out. I don't like it after it's been emptied, or it gets chucked up an ivy hill somewhere where people don't walk or go. But there's shit around on occasion. It's there on occasion. But it's not a problem. It's just, it's not something that needs a lot of, we shouldn't give it a lot of lip service because it happens. But now I could say this to someone, they go, what do you mean? I took a walk with my special needs son and they stepped in shit.
That's the exception.
And I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying how much do you want to talk about it? It's not really an issue. And I feel this way about asshole internet trolley guys like whipping up this or Antifa that. Like, what really are we talking about? If you took the number of human beings that are in either Antifa or the Klan, you could probably fit them into one of my warehouses. I wouldn't want them in one of my warehouses. I'd probably put them in separate warehouses. What are we really talking about here? And if we're not really talking about much, then we get back to the thing, which is Lynette sits around along with all the wives. They watch all the true crime shows. It was a sleepy neighborhood. Nobody ever thought this could happen to them. Their young, precious 13-year-old was just walking home from the 7th grade, minding their own business when a van pulled up. Next thing you know, they found their parts decomposing in the Angeles Cresta forest. And it's like, all that does is make Lynette think this could happen.
Yeah.
And
it's going to happen.
I hope she hasn't Google searched Jamie Kloss in the last few days.
If you... Really?
Oh, you haven't heard?
Oh, boy.
Oh, keep it
away. Tell me off the air. All right. Don't want Lynette to hear this. The point is this. Now a whole group of people hear that, and then that whole group of people, like Lynette and company, they all get together, and they all start trading stories, and the next thing you know, no one's letting their kid walk home from school.
Right.
So you've taken this thing that was a... not measurable in terms of percentage of points it could happen. Right. You've turned it into a possible probability, and now we're all frozen, and it's affecting the way we're going about our lives with certain dusting of fear and anger in there. Okay, not a good way to travel through life.
Self-paralysis.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. What story are you talking about?
So this was going on for a while. I didn't report it because everything was so late breaking every second. We just couldn't keep up with it. So now that we have sort of a resolution, this girl was reported missing after her two parents were murdered in their house, and she was just gone. So there's been this search for her for weeks now, and they found her. The guy that murdered her parents had seen her. Don't let Lynette listen to this. She just randomly picked this little 13-year-old girl out, walking, waiting at the bus stop for school, followed her home, I guess, made her tie up her parents. He murdered the parents, took her to some crazy, like, mid-forest house in Wisconsin, and she's been held hostage there for 88 days. She finally got free and ran into the street and found a neighbor, and now the guy's in jail, and they're about to charge him. But yeah,
where did this take place?
I think in Wisconsin. That's where they found her.
Wait a minute. That's anywhere.
Yeah.
That's anywhere town, USA.
I live anywhere.
That could be somewhere. That could be me.
Yeah, it was Wisconsin, but I mean, this is a national thing. We were getting Amber Alerts here in California. We went to Phoenix for the Basic Cable commentary. She was all over the billboards over there, too.
And it was so crazy because the way there was like this manhunt for her. I was like, did she kill her parents? Why are we what's going on?
But that would be so much better.
It was so scary. But he made her tie them up. He murdered them in front of her and took her, held her captive, didn't know her, just picked her out. So, Lynette, lock those doors, Lynette.
I'm homeschooling, but the kids.
It's not going to help.
All right. Let's see. Dave Mason. I'll tell you this Seinfeld white privilege thing, and you guys can help me sort out the internet, because I don't know how the internet works.
What do you want to know?
Pop Dave on, and we'll get some picks for this coming championship weekend.
That's right.
What time are the games? Are they late games?
They're both on Sunday. It's noon and like 3:30, noon and 4, something like that. Both on Sunday, back to back.
Dave, are you up?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm right here. The times are kickoff. Eastern time is the first game's at about 3:05 Eastern time. The second game's going to be at 6:40 Eastern time on Sunday.
First game is which game?
NFC Championship game, Rams plus 3 at the Saints.
This is tough. The Rams looked pretty good, but it was still a pretty close-ish game. The Saints feel like they're losing a little whatever their mojo. I didn't know they were down 14-0.
That's right.
And had it not been
a quick 14-0.
And it had not been for a very athletic pick, could have lost that game times two, ball drop and whatever. So the Eagles really could have beat the Saints at home. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that game, Dave?
We just took some sharp action on the Rams. It was plus 3.5 about 45 minutes ago, and sharp group of bettors. When I say sharp, I'm talking guys who win long term and get the best of the number consistently. They took plus 3.5. It sounds like you're siding with the sharps there.
Dave, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question about what you just talked about the biz?
Absolutely.
So when you talk about sharp money coming in, I know what that means, the big bets. Is that based on the size of the bet? Is that based on the user and their history? Because you're obviously online. Like at the casinos, they'll know a guy who comes in and bets, big money and wins over the course of, years. But when you're doing it online, are you dealing with, are the sharp money the guys who make big bets, or are the sharp money the guys who have a history of
winning? He's saying history, I think.
Yeah, it's both. I mean, they're not betting $200 a game. They're not like me. They're betting big amounts, but they're also they're winners over the long term, on the long run. Like, you'll have an account, so the bets come in, and we highlight the guys that are winners as sharp. So that there's like a bet ticker that all these bets are coming in, and highlighted bets, either big bets, guys that are betting a ton of money. Whether they're sharp or not, there's guys that aren't sharp that have a lot of money. That's one thing I've learned in this industry, is that there's some rich people out there, or they're sharp, and these bets come in as red, they're highlighted as red, and our guys see it, and they can spit out these numbers. They know these accounts, and this guy's sharp. When he bets, he's not betting for entertainment. He's betting because he's a sharp bettor. He's a long term. He's going to get the best of number. What do I mean by best of number? He's going to bet it at plus 3.5 when it closes plus 3. Okay, mm-hmm. He's going to bet it minus 7. you know, when it closes -7.5, those are sharp bets. So they don't always win. Long term, they win. If you get the best of the closing number long term, you're going to be a winner. And that's what these sharp guys do. They're not betting a side. They're betting a number.
What do we have with the Patriots game?
Patriots, that's spread too. Kansas City Chiefs -3. Patriots getting 3, obviously. All the spread actions real even so far this weekend. It's about 52% of the actions on the Saints, 52% of the actions on the Chiefs. The big sweats are going to be the money lines, just like last weekend. People are pounding the hell out of these underdogs on the money line at plus money, and that's no different this weekend. They're like 78% of the early bettors are on the Patriots at +132, and 71% of the early bettors are on the Rams at +160. So we'll be rooting for the favorites once again this weekend. We got crushed wild card weekend with the dogs cut, with a couple of the dogs winning outright, and but we won pretty big this past weekend. We needed all 4 favorites.
So who are you going with?
Spread wise, I'm taking the points. Spread wise, NFC is no play for me. If I do, it'd be gun to head. It'd be the Saints at -3. I'll see if that goes back up to play. If it goes back up to +3.5, I'd take the Rams without a doubt. The AFC Championship game, hell, I gotta take the Patriots with 3 points. I mean, especially how they looked this past weekend. I mean, all year, they're over the hill. And every time you say that about them, they just come out and look better than ever. And that's how they looked this past weekend. I'll take the +3 points. I hope the Chiefs win, but I'll take the 3 points.
You know, it's a really interesting thing as human beings, watching football my entire life, huge fan. Studied every team, know every game. Just hang out with Cousin Sal. Game comes up, 2 games, 2 teams, franchises, been around for combined 600 years. Have no idea. Nobody has any idea who's going to win. It's a weird thing about being human beings. You think if you were talking about another civilization, other aliens or something, and you're talking about a game they played and they people parlay, you'd think they'd be a little closer to figuring it out after the game had they bad professional football for
70 years.
For 75 years. Nobody has any idea. And I hang out with Cousin Sal constantly, and his guests, while educated, is still really no better than Lynette's in once the points are factored in or once we get to the over-under at 52.5 points or whatever that thing is. It's great, well, I guess.
Remember what RJ told us? If you're 55% on the season, you're killing it.
Right.
You know, you're doing well.
Yep.
One more question about one more inside biz question, Dave. What would as Bet Online, what would Bet Online like to see as the big matchup at the end of the year? Like, we have 4 really good teams. I think any of those teams would make for a good game. But what is the betting community like to see?
From a business perspective, we want both favorites to win. We, you know, win this weekend and worry about who the hell's playing in the Super Bowl. Then, from an overall action, I'd say the Saints definitely in that NFC game. You would say the Patriots, but I don't know. I think people are getting tired of the damn Patriots. I mean, I know I am. I mean, you know, it's like every year Super Bowl, you know, we post all these exotic and unique Super Bowl prop bets. And I mean, how many times are we going to post the color of Belichick's hoodie, and when will they show Giselle? I mean, it's just getting tired. I just don't want them in the Super Bowl. I don't care if we win or lose on them this weekend. I'm just tired of posting all these, you know, when are they going to show Giselle, and will John Bon Jovi be, you know, hugging Robert Kraft and all that other crap. Yeah. I'm just tired of it, man. We want the Chiefs. I'll take the Chiefs and the Saints. That's what I want.
I'd like to check out Giselle's hood myself.
Now we're talking. The worst prop bet loss I ever took. I was convinced. I was shocked it was even on there. I was convinced it was such a layup. It was last year when the Eagles were in the Super Bowl and Terrell Owens had gotten into the Hall of Fame like a week before, and the prop bet was like, will Terrell Owens be mentioned on the broadcast? Of course he will. He played for the Eagles. He made the Hall of Fame a week ago. He had a great game for the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
With
like
a
on
broken,
one leg.
Broken ankle, yeah.
They never mentioned him. The pick went in.
Thanks, Dave Mason.
All right, thank you.
I appreciate it. Very.
Absolutely.
It is crazy that nobody knows. And anyone who says they know, don't.
And that's what you love about the game. You can't predict
I kind of love it about being a human. Like, isn't that weird that
as humans, but there's not one human that knows more than any other human about this. Mm-hmm.
They spend all their time worrying about
experts, capital E experts.
All they do. And once they get to that spread, it's like, I do feel like I am a sort of doom and gloom when it comes to the Rams, but I do feel like the Rams are heading up and the and the Saints are trickling off a little bit, but we shall see. And then you can never bet against the Patriots, although the Chiefs at home. I want it for the Chiefs fans.
And Kansas City goes all in when their team is
I want it.
For the World Series. I mean, the whole town lights up. It's really fun.
Can I say the only thing I don't like about the Arrowhead home games? Mm. When they do that move where they go, food, they're serving at the stadium. And they got the big brisket and the smoker, and they're taking the barbecue sauce. They got all the ribs, and they're slathering it on.
Start with a mop.
Then the L.A. the L.A. game, they cut to the parking lot. There's one Mexican guy with a propane tank and a shopping cart, and he's doing a ghetto dog with a cockroach, and he's going, what do you want from me?
Like, it's bacon. It's good.
I go, I want to go to Kansas City just so I can get some fucking ribs at a game. Could you imagine going to a football game and getting great ribs?
That's a dream.
It'd be amazing.
Live show. My
now you're talking.
All right, let me tell you about BetOnline, then I'll tell you this funny Seinfeld-y thing. BetOnline.ag, just talking about them. 2019, starting off, the big thanks to BetOnline.ag. Exclusive partner of Podcast One and Sportsnet. They have a great, great event for you guys to see if you can win. It's an all-expense-paid trip to the big game. I think you know which game we're talking about. Round trip, flight, hotel, VIP tailgate party, and tickets to the big game for you and a guest in Atlanta. Simple to enter. Just go to betonline.ag, sign up for an account, use the promo code BIGGAME, and you could be going to the big game. Don't miss out. Promotion ends January 28th. Visit betonline.ag today for all the details. That's betonline.ag. Use the promo code BIGGAME. This includes airfare and hotel and VIP tailgate party and everything else. So the internet. I don't know how the internet works. I was trying this with Max Pata, and you guys might be able to shed some light on this, and then you people will tweet stuff to me, and it'll always work. Went to Super Dave's funeral. After Super Dave's funeral, was trying to kind of file out a little bit. I was in the back, so I was sort of last out. Seinfeld likes Porsches, and I think he likes me, and he came over. He was sort of, I could see him sort of waiting, like he was sort of waiting for things to clear up or something. And then he came up to me, and he said, hey, like the your bit on white privilege. And I do what I always do, which is I don't know what he's talking about. Yeah. I yell and yap and yap and yell all the time, but I don't know where it is. Yeah. I don't know where anything is. And then he said, and then I do this one. I go, oh, thanks. What was that part with there that you saw on it? Was it? And then he said, I don't know. It was on my feed this morning. So I don't know if he knows either. He said that morning, he got up and there's my white privilege thing. And I was like, okay, all right. And then I was like, and then he did the only few times I've ever ran into him, what he always does, which I'm always flattered by, but then I always feel like a fucking idiot. He goes, that bit of yours, man. Rich man, poor man. That's a killer
bit.
That's
a franchise
bit.
That's
a killer bit. And I'm like, I've never done it on stage. I've never made a penny off it. He's like, it's a killer bit, man. That's a bit, man. Oh, I wish I had that bit.
Because
if you had that bit, you make $100 million. I don't even count it as a bit.
Where's the coffee table book?
So he's like, so we talked about that for a second. And then we talked about Porsche 935s. And then I walked down there and I was like, what? White privilege? And then how does it work where it just popped up on his feed? Mm-hmm. How does that work? And then I got home and I think the following day I turned on the computer and somebody tweeted me like Adam talks about white privilege. And I'm like, what is this? And so I looked at it and it was from when me and Prager did a show at some college somewhere and it was edited and there was like shots of the audience and stuff. So it must have been from the upcoming No Safe Spaces. And I said, all right, well, somebody took a snippet of that and they released it. but when did they release it? And then I said to Max Appato, how did that work? And then he said, they released it in November. And then I said, okay. And then why does it work where Seinfeld goes, I saw it today on my feed, and then I get home the next day and it's on my Twitter, and I wasn't looking for it. So how does that work, Max Bad? Did we figure out anything?
No, I mean, I'm even just looking at Twitter, and like no news sites have covered it recently, but it really just caught fire around January 10th, and everybody's been kind of sharing it on Twitter, but not even a ton of retweets. It's just they click like a share on the YouTube video, and it tweets it for them, like, I'm watching this video.
And it was released in November?
Yeah, so it was published in November, but a lot of the views are happening now.
That's how things happen, you know.
But,
the right person shares it at the right time, you know. It's different between someone sharing it at, you know, 10 p.m. versus 10 a.m. You know, more people are either the right person's either looking or the right people are awake. You know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, I was close. I assumed it was something from PragerU that got shared. But that's how it works. Somebody that you're somehow connected to Seinfeld with either favorited it or retweeted it, and it ended up on his timeline.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, that's how the internet works, everybody.
That is indeed
we
it.
We don't know how it works. That's
just
how
like
it works.
Sports betting.
I have no idea how it works. And the percentage of times that people come up to me and go, hey, man, that bit you do on whatever, where I understand what they're talking about or at least know where it's from. Like I go, oh, that definitely sounds like me. But where I can actually narrow it down to the bit or the podcast or something is very rare for me.
I mean, you may not be able to ever trace what chain of people got it in front of Jerry Seinfeld's eyes, but that's very easily explainable. We just told you about how it gets shared. You know, people discover it, and next thing you know, someone who Jerry Seinfeld follows thinks it's funny enough to or interesting enough to retweet.
All right. Kyle Dunnigan is here. That is good news. Because not only he's brought in his friend Bill Maher.
Oh,
they were in Maui when I was in Maui. I called Bill. I don't have his direct line, but I did call his assistant a couple of times. So I'm sure passed the message.
I imagine so. It's part of their job.
You know, good enough for Howie Mandel.
Right.
Good enough for Bill Maher.
Yeah. Right there.
He was there the whole time I was there.
Right.
It's not that big an island.
No, it's very small.
Yeah. But anyway, we weren't able to hook up. I don't know if it was me. I don't know if it was him. I don't know if it was me always trying to reach out to him, him not returning any of my calls. It's hard to tell.
Right.
The time change thing, too. You know?
There is a time change thing.
We're going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. He was evidently there with some other comedians who I enjoy as well, who probably would have liked to see me, you know.
Yeah.
But we can figure out just what went wrong. I'm sure it was
just a mistake.
A slip up. And then later on, we're going to do some blah, blah, blog. I think it's a Trump edition. Mm-hmm. So we can play the game with Trump, which makes
it's nice
me
to
laugh
have his
in advance.
Side.
It's good to hear. Yeah, well, it's only fair to get his take on it.
A lot of times the tweets are about Trump.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think
he should be able to defend himself.
These are all Trump-centric tweets. All right. First, let me tell you about Craftsman, new home for... Craftsman is Lowe's, including their V20 cordless power tool lineup. One battery system works on multiple products, 2, 4, 6, and 8 tool combo kits available, all with the 2-amp high capacity lithium battery. It works with all the V20 lineup. Craftsman just using some of their hand tools today, actually. Little ratchet set. Runtime you need, the power you deserve, V20 brushless tools available. They have the brushless drill, they have the V20 Max Impact Driver, they have the hammer drill, roto hammer, good for masonry work, you know. Proudly made in the USA with global materials in Charlotte, North Carolina. For the latest Craftsman product and updates, you can visit Lowe's.com/Adam. Lowe's, new home of Craftsman. All right, quickie break. Back with Kyle Dunnigan right after this.
What's up? Name's Xander Slade. I'm a professional parkour runner. Never heard of parkour. Number one, wake the fuck up. You're fast asleep. And number two, I'll tell you about it. Parkour is an ancient physical art form from Japan. It incorporates cool flips and shit into the process of getting from one point to another. It's a tough sport. I get a lot of bumps and bruises. But the most difficult aspect of running... staying loose. You can stretch all you want, but my secret is Mangria. I chug about a bottle and a half before I launch myself over 30-foot parking garage gaps and cling to cement walls with no handholds. For me, it's the best way to stay cool under pressure. Currently, I'm nursing two broken legs and a broken penis, so I'm out for a while. But know this. When I hit the streets again, Mangria's coming with me. Thanks, Mangria. Parkour.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Jimmy Kimmel dared Adam Carolla to go on stage completely unprepared. And Adam had the balls to do it. So now you have the balls too. Bingo balls. Adam Carolla is unprepared is coming to your town. February 8th in Connecticut. February 9th in Boston. We got a bingo ball hopper. You write down one word on it, and Adam will spontaneously create a rant around it live on stage.
Steampunk. Oh, Jesus Christ. You guys know what steampunk is? This is basically rockabilly for people that make more than $37,000 a year.
Adam Carolla is unprepared. February 8th at Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. February 9th at the Wilbur in Boston. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
We have Kyle Dunnigan here.
What's up? What's up?
We were talking off the air about the Ray Liotta Chantix commercial.
Try Chantix. Help you stop smoking.
It's a minute long. I think we should hear it slash see it because it makes... made everyone laugh.
I tried everything to quit smoking. Cocaine, everything. Nothing worked. Then I tried fucking Chantix.
The making of Chantix.
What's Chantix?
It's the drug you take to abstain from smoking.
Stop smoking?
Yes, to stop smoking.
Why would you want to do that? Hey, I'm Ray, and I quit fucking smoking with fucking Chantix. Hey, so try Chantix.
Ray. Yeah. You can't swear.
I'm Ray, and I stopped smoking with fucking Chantix. You should fucking get Chantix.
Well, Ray.
I'm just talking to myself. It's weird, you know. Yeah. If I got a scene I'm doing, I'll beat you in the fucking head if you don't try fucking Chantix, Karen. That's how you sell a product.
Can you not smoke
it? Yeah, I can. I mean, fuck one of the greatest actors of all time. I can pretend I'm not fucking smoking. Well, and then later you can CGI the cigarette out. What are we shooting?
Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes of the Chantix
commercial. Those
tapes
leak, you know?
It's cool to see the process.
Yeah.
It is good to see an actor work.
We also have Bill Maher here because we...
Why do I keep coming back here? Yeah. I don't like any of you people, okay?
Oh, no.
Yeah, Bill, I guess we're kind of... catamarans in the night in Maui. I missed you over there.
I don't want to hang out with you in Hawaii. Okay.
I know you know Sarah Silverman and you
great,
have lots
love
of other celebrity friends over there. And I
need to hang out with people who make me look better. Okay. Not worse. No offense. Okay.
Okay.
I think he's talking about you.
I was going to bring my boy over to like your cabana and I thought maybe we could play some Ultimate Frisbee on the beach or something like that, you know?
Oh, that sounds like a great time. So I would play Frisbee with your child. What a fantasy come true for my vacation.
Well,
that's what's on my list, Adam. Parasailing, snorkeling, and throwing a Frisbee at a child.
Okay. I'm not.
look,
it sounds fun.
Some of the simpler, Bill, I think what you're missing out on is it's not all about big premieres and young, beautiful Asian women on your arm and going to exotic locales. It can be very simple life and gratifying, you know, just tossing a beach ball back and forth with a young lad on the beach and seeing the smile on his face.
That sounds like a terrible time to me. I'm sorry to be. I need to be honest with you, okay? Because I don't want to keep hurting your feelings. I keep getting messages that you want to hang out with me.
Well, we're in Maui. We're on Maui. It's like it's an island. We're trapped, like literally trapped on an island together.
Well, we probably live 10 minutes away in Los Angeles anyway.
Yeah.
But do I call you to hang out? Hey, I'm on Laurel Canyon. Let's hang out.
Oh, you want to?
No, I'm using that as an example, okay?
What part of Laurel are you on? Like Wrightwood or something?
Near Ventura,
I'll meet you.
Okay, but it doesn't matter.
Well, are you between the Donnas and Laurelwood?
I could throw a frisbee at your son from there, okay? That's how close we live.
I'll come by and hang out with you on Laurel Canyon. We can walk down to Woodrow Wilson. It'll be awesome.
Brian, can you talk to this person? He's not getting it.
I don't get it. He said he was on Laurel and he wanted to hang out.
Dad, are we going to play frisbee with Uncle Bill?
Oh, your kid's here. Great.
Hey,
what's your kid's name? I forgot.
His name.
I wasn't listening when you told me.
No, it was my fault. His name is Sonny Santino.
Hey, Sonny.
Yeah.
Can you let your dad know something?
Okay.
Here, write this down. You have a pen?
Yes, I have a pen right here.
Dear Daddy.
Bill
Maher.
Is this letter from me?
No, it's for your dad.
Okay, sorry. No. From me?
No, the kid's not too smart either. Okay. Dear Daddy.
Bill Maher will
never hang out with you because he doesn't like you. Okay.
Slow down.
Question mark, never. Exclamation point, new paragraph, go fuck yourself. Okay.
Why don't you just tell me in person when we picnic on Laurel Canyon later on today?
Because we're not doing that.
I thought that's what you said you wanted to do.
Hey, Dad.
Oh, my God.
I have a letter from Bill Maher.
Yeah, give that to your dad, Sonny.
Slide it under the bathroom door. I know what the gist is. I don't know all the words.
I don't feel like you're totally getting it personally.
I did, you know, Bill, I did P.I. so many times, you know.
What's P.I.?
I mean, not P.I.
P.I.? Magnum P.I.?
You know, politically incorrect. Yeah. Politically incorrect. I was like your go-to guy, you know.
Well, that was in the early days. We couldn't get celebrities.
Right. Well, I was a celebrity.
Well, we thought we'd get a blue-collar guy to represent the people who don't make money.
Speaking of the celebrities, who'd you go on the island with? Was it just you alone?
No, it was probably 20 or 30 very famous people,
to be honest. Who? I mean, maybe somebody.
George Clooney.
Oh, wow. He's. I don't call him a dear friend, but he certainly knows me.
Dad, are we going to hang out with George Clooney?
Shut up, Sonny. We're talking.
Get in the car and point it toward Laurel Canyon.
I asked George Clooney because we got your message. We were all laughing.
He
had no idea who you were. Absolutely no idea.
I saw him at Kimmel's once, and he gave me a handshake. Like, hey, how you doing?
Oh,
you
he know? Shook your hand?
Yeah.
Well, then you must be great friends.
Well, no. I mean, it was more than a handshake. It was a knowing nod. But anyway, who else was there?
There was Woody Harrelson. We smoked pot.
Oh, Woody's smoking pot now.
Yeah, he's smoking pot. Great guy. Fun to hang out with. Funny guy. He'd do a great podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, we should get him on the show.
No, I think like on his own.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Be great.
Right. I thought maybe you could just send the message to invite him onto this show.
Right.
Okay. Who else was there?
Woody Nelson.
Woody Nelson.
Or Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson.
I'm high right now, sorry.
Willie Nelson.
I'm always smoking.
He's great. I'd love to meet him.
I bet you would. Great guy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I went on his tour bus once when he did Loveline many years ago. It smelled like weed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Who else?
Woody. We had Roseanne Barr. Great.
She lives
on the island.
She's on the island.
Yeah, she's got that macadamia nut plant over there.
Oh, really?
We go out there, we eat macadamia, smoke pot.
I love macadamia nuts.
And we laugh about people who try to hang out with us. It's a great time.
Oh, man. I could see myself joining that group.
No, we need people that we laugh at so we have a good time.
Right.
So if you were there, it wouldn't make sense. Does that make sense, Sonny?
I get it.
Yeah, your kid's a little brighter than you.
We
no
couldn't
offense.
Make fun of other people that weren't there. Like, I couldn't join in on that.
I think they're making fun of you, Dad.
Yeah, Sonny gets it.
He does?
That's what it sounds like to me.
No.
I think he's trying to bully you.
You got a smart kid.
I did politically incorrect like 25 times.
I know, you won't shut up about it.
That's a big fan of mine.
I've heard that before.
He's a big fan.
Oh, okay.
Remember that time?
Doesn't sound like it from the words.
Remember that time, like in 1999, you guys sent me like a special correspondent down to the House of Blues for the New Year's.
Right. We had a meeting. How could we make me look smarter?
Uh-huh.
So the plan was have some stupid people on the show. Okay. So we invited you. That's why you were on. Okay. Wake up and smell the coffee. Okay.
All right. Well, look, Bill. I'm just gonna say this. I'm a straightforward guy, and I'm a big boy. And I can take it, and I feel like you're kind of dancing around whatever it is you want to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is, I know how Hollywood works. There's a lot of innuendo and double talk and everything else, but I'm saying straight out, if you don't want to.
You need it straight from me.
Yeah, if you don't want to hang.
Dancing around it.
If you don't want to hang, then we won't hang, but say the word.
How about you say that? Repeat after me.
Okay.
Bill Maher.
Bill Maher.
Does not.
Does not.
Like me.
Like me.
And will never hang out with me. Okay.
And will never hang out with me. Okay. I put a happier inflection
okay,
on.
Okay, that's fine. Whatever makes you happy.
All right, should we do a little blah, blah, blog?
Oh, terrific. I love blah, blah, blog.
It's time for blah, blah, blog. The game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play. Straight lies from the Oval are nothing new. What is new is that real Donald Trump is losing base support, and fast, as his failures pile up. Speaker Pelosi and Senator Schumer spoke truth to faux power as they pulled at the threads of an unraveling administration. Is it Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
Who's that?
Cory Booker.
Never heard of him.
Or Alyssa Milano.
Ew.
Good Lord.
Oh.
Those aren't real boobs.
This is tough. I think Booker's a boob. All right. Let's figure this out. Oh, God, this is tough. This is anyone's game. Brian, what do you think?
The Oval could just be, you know, making room for more characters, but it sounds like an insider thing, so it makes me think Cory Booker, but then would he be so aggressive, you know what I mean? The faux power and all that?
I think it's game on, and I think you have to sort of go, if you want success, you're either going to go, well, I'm for Trump mm-hmm. on the chance that he's reelected and whatever, or I'm 1,000% against Trump on the chance that that wins me an election. I don't know that there's any more in between room, you know, hang out in between anymore. Right. And I don't know if anyone needs to be respectful anymore. It's weird because people generally do work in the same vicinity. It's one thing. I think we all have that thing where it's like talk shit about people who go to other schools and right. live in other neighborhoods like you never see. These people have to interact
with
each other.
They cross paths in the hallway.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what do you think?
Okay. I have a hunch of who it's not. I'm going to say it's not AOC because she is under such scrutiny now that if she had tweeted this, I think it would have been bigger news. So mm-hmm. I'm going to say Alyssa Milano.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe she didn't hear about it. But.
Interesting. I think the key to this, like Brian said, is faux power. And for some reason, I don't see somebody in politics, you know, saying truth to power is one thing. And everybody's been doing that. Everyone who hates Trump saying I'm speaking truth to power. But saying faux power, I don't think anyone who's a politician would say that. So I, too, go with Alyssa Milano.
I'll go Alyssa as well. Donald, Mr.
Okay.
President.
Let me be honest, okay? I'm always very honest, okay? I was not listening to the tweet. I did not hear it at all.
It wasn't flattering.
Some guy was talking. Not flattering. Okay, let me ask this. Who's the Puerto Rican to the right? Who's
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Okay. I'm going to go with, I like Alyssa's boobs in that picture, so we're going to go with Alyssa. Alyssa Milano for the win.
Well, I'll go Alyssa Milano.
Let's across
the
board.
The blog belongs to Alyssa Milano.
Yeah. Yeah. Winners. Yeah.
Trump was grooming hard tonight. Hitlerian rhetoric. Wake up. Fight back or sit down, Democrats. Is it Michael Moore, Mark Ruffalo, or Rose McGowan?
Now, Hitler gets a bad rap. Okay.
Hitlerian.
My favorite Michael Moore moment of all time, Trump, you'll probably like this, as I was. Now, Michael Moore dresses like an out of work lesbian trucker because he wants you to think he's poor. So you think he's on your side and he's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. But he wears a poor man's clown outfit. Mm-hmm. He literally puts a costume on before he does Bill Maher. Sorry, Bill. I hate to tell you this. Before he does his show.
So you're blowing his cover.
He dresses like an out-of-work lesbian trucker because he thinks if people think he has money, then he can no longer speak truth to power anymore because he's got power.
That's interesting.
And my favorite moment was he was on Stern, and Stern loves to talk money with everybody. And he's like, Michael Moore, you're a millionaire. And Michael Moore's like, oh, now if you say Michael Moore's a millionaire on the air, he has to go, no, I'm not a millionaire because millionaires are bad people. Yeah. So he goes, oh, please, no, because millionaire, pedophile, arsonist, they're all in the same fucking hopper now because we're a retarded society that somehow has decided to take successful people and judge them because we're all such petulant little piece of shit kids and all rich people are fucking scared. They're like, oh, no, I don't have money. I'm wearing flip-flops. I'm Mark Zuckerberg. I'm wearing fucking cargo shorts. I go to Old Navy. Don't look at me. So he goes, so Michael Moore, who's a teller of truths, then starts lying. He says, oh, I'm not a millionaire. And Stern does what Stern does. He goes, well, you have to be a millionaire. You've made a whole bunch of movies that cost, you know, not much to make and have grossed millions. And he goes, oh, no. And then Stern goes, well, you have $1 million, right? Like if you're worth
just the one.
If you're worth $1 million, then technically you're a millionaire. And Michael Moore goes, maybe with the house. Like, you know, he has $375 in a 401k, and at the house is probably worth $7 by now. So technically, if he liquidated the house, but he's worth $50 million. He dresses up like a poor clown and then lies to everybody. And drives me fucking nuts. Just fucking own it. You make films. You make good films. You make documentaries. You get compensated for the documentaries. You enjoy being compensated for the documentaries. When you're not compensated, you sue Weinstein's company to get more money so you can be a bigger millionaire. The notion that you have to pretend to be poor so people will like you now is a fucking set. It's really, you're successful. The money's a byproduct of your success. Own it.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird that everyone is freaked out about, I'm not a millionaire. No one is really. Yes, you're a millionaire. That's fine. The good news is being a millionaire isn't what it used to be.
And which house is he talking about? He's got probably 9.
I think he had 7 or 9.
Sprawled through Michigan.
It's true.
All 7 together equaled.
He has 9 properties.
That's hilarious.
By the way, he's the worst businessman in the world because he doesn't spend any money on clothing. He spends nothing on vests and pocket watches. Nothing. He's made his movies have grossed $350 million, and he doesn't even have $1 million in the bank.
Yeah,
he's a
horrible businessman.
I was going to say Fahrenheit 9/11, famous for being the most profitable documentary of all time, cost $6 million, grossed over $220 million.
All right, but he probably only saw $150 million of that. Yeah. You know, you got to back it out for advertising.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of studio involvement in that movie.
All right. Totally independent. So what was this tweet again? Sorry, he hates everyone.
Trump was grooming hard tonight. Hitlerian rhetoric.
Hitlerian, yes.
Wake up, fight back, or sit down, Democrats.
Okay.
$150 million still poor, though, by the way.
Hitlerian. Yep.
Michael Moore, Mark Ruffalo, or Rose McGowan?
It feels a little easy for Michael Moore, like the sort of Hitlerian part.
I know who this is.
Feels a little more Rose McGowan.
It's Rose McGowan.
To me. It feels a little, it doesn't feel smart, interesting enough. Just the Hitler, it's too easy.
If you could see it, this person wrote Hitler-Ian. Both sides of that capitalized.
Mm-hmm. Which is it, Hitler or Ian?
All right.
Two very different people.
I'll go with Rose.
Yeah, I saw Fahrenheit 11/9, and Michael Moore these days is as disgusted with the Democrats as he is with the Republicans, so I don't think it's him. I'm going to say Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, Ruffalo is pretty energized.
He's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way as Brian. Michael Moore, whether it's true or not, I don't know. He is very into hating both parties very loudly. So I don't think he sides with Democrats in any way. I think the Hitler thing might be a little edgy for Mark, so I'm going to say Rose.
Donald?
I'm going to use science, okay, to figure this out.
Oh, really? All right.
Now, the female cranium, as we know, is much smaller than the male's, so they can't fit as much brains in there, as I've said many times.
Oh, come on, President.
So the fact that she screwed up the word Hitler and put an Ian on, I'm going to go with Rose McGowan.
All right. Are we all with?
Three Roses and one Ruffalo.
Wait, who's got the Ruffalo?
Ryan.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
The blog belongs to Rose McGowan.
Ah. Look at that. Look at that tiny cranium.
She does have a small head.
So little brains.
I should use science.
We do have...
science. Okay.
We have the Michael Moore clip from Stern. How long is it?
About 30 seconds.
All right. If you go like, oh, I just like to dress comfortable, but then once Stern said that and he wouldn't admit it, then you go, oh, the dress up is on purpose.
Felt so. It was a clown outfit, but poor clown. But I'll play it, sorry.
He should wear a full clown outfit. That would be
Your last movie made millions of dollars. I read you made something like $24 million.
No, I know. That's so crazy.
Isn't that?
No.
No!
I'm a documentary filmmaker. I mean, I do well.
But your films. But,
I do well. Right. Yes.
And so you're worth several million dollars. Is that fair to say?
No, I wouldn't say that.
No?
No. I would not say. That's wrong.
Your net worth is over $1 million.
Well, probably if you count the value of the house and everything, yeah.
All right. So he's a liar, I guess.
What year was that?
I hate liars.
2009.
All right. I don't think he'd admit it today.
Yes, it's well after the success of 9/11. Fahrenheit 9/11. He made a lot of money on that movie.
Sometimes
it's so funny when. You have millions of dollars. Oh, yeah. Like
isn't that crazy?
Like, you know what my reaction would be? I do? Awesome. Who wants a gold swizzle stick? Who wants to do a bump? I wouldn't be like, get away from me.
Yeah.
You could tell by his initial reaction to you have millions of dollars, him screaming no.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot let people know I have money. You're defeating the clown, the poor hobo suit.
Could he have not
way.
Gotten the checks yet? There's a lot of there's agents, there's
back
managers,
pay.
Yeah. There's that. Yeah, kind of
his production company has $24 million, not him.
Right,
right. All right. Sorry. What are we 2-0 and 2-1-1?
Yeah. Yeah. I always win this. I always win.
Oh, you do.
I won last time.
All right. Well, you're a winner.
Trump
or we're losers, or probably both.
One
right?
winner, three losers. Okay. Let's go next tweet.
Trump.
Come on, Mike, hurry up.
Trump, live now, railing against immigrants while sitting beside the photo of his immigrant mother. Shame. Is it Michael Moore? Yeah. Don Lemon?
Lesbian loser.
Or Rosie O'Donnell?
Report loser. Mm. Disgusting slob. This is tough.
So, the beef is still on with Rosie?
Is Rosie the one with the hat or the one with the glasses?
No, that's Michael Moore.
Michael Moore.
Oh, that's Michael Moore. Okay.
Yeah, Rosie's the other one with the glasses, and they have similar features.
It's not two Michael Moores.
No. Okay. One of them's a lady.
Yeah, one's clearly female.
One's a female.
Okay, just checking.
Okay, listen, Rosie I find attractive.
Oh, please.
President Trump, didn't you have some... famous beef with Rosie?
Yeah, Rosie's got all the beef.
She's hoarding all the beef.
I think you called her disgusting.
She's hoarding all the beef in the world.
Yeah.
On her body.
She married a lady. She's attractive.
Oh,
lady,
God.
Female. She's a
it's
police.
Wrong. Huh? In the Bible. Very wrong.
No, but she married a female police officer. I know you like, you're a fan of law enforcement.
Love law enforcement.
Yeah.
love the boys in blue.
Well, this is one of the girls
in
blue.
Women can't be police officers.
Well, I think they let this one.
No, they can't. No,
wait a minute.
They don't have the strength.
Didn't you see Charlie's Angels? At the very beginning, they showed that they were all police officers, but they all quit to join Charlie's Angels.
That was a while ago.
It's a deep hole, yeah.
No, that was a that was devil shows, a fantasy show.
Oh,
it was like I Dream a Genie, but with police.
Okay, all right. I didn't read into that. So yeah. Rosie married a woman who's a police officer. Okay,
none of this makes sense.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm stating the fact. Hold on, someone's on line. Eduardo's on line six. Eduardo,
yes,
you're Guatemalan.
Sí, señor.
And you have a question for President Trump?
Yes. I'm just wondering if I need to be worried about being deported. I've been here for 42 years, but...
you shouldn't even be here at all.
Harsh.
Well, wait a minute. How did you get here, Eduardo?
My mom brought me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See?
Wait, Eduardo, what is your address? Asking for a friend. I got a pen here. Okay.
Confidential.
So you're a citizen, right?
Yes. I was raised in Guatemala. I grew up down there, and then my mother decided to come up here for a better life, and I learned how to speak English at age 7, and pero también hablo español, and
I've been here ever since. He's speaking in tongues, Adam.
Gibberish to
no,
you.
I think he's speaking Spanish there. Okay. And you're gainfully employed, and you pay your taxes, and you love your country.
Sir. I have 3 jobs.
Well, there you go. He's more than gainfully employed. He's tri-gainfully employed. He pays taxes.
System.
He loves his country. What's wrong with that, Donald?
First of all, I think it's so terrific. People who pay their taxes.
Uh-huh.
But Eduardo, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Listen. I just want to meet you in Arizona. Okay. And we're going to have a little talk. Okay. No big deal. Bring your mom. Bring your mom. Bring your 14 brothers and sisters. Okay.
I'd like to, but they're still in Guatemala. So I was
good.
Oh, the caravan.
Oh, good.
Sigh of relief for Trump.
Now, there's a catapult. Solid gold catapult Trump's making. Okay. Don't be scared. We're going to put you in that, and we'll have a little talk. Okay.
All right, Eduardo.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. Bye.
Speaking of deportation, can I pitch my idea to you, Mr. President? I think you'll like this a lot, actually.
No, thanks.
Oh, okay. Well,
go ahead.
I'll throw it out there. If you like it, take credit for it. Run with it. There's obviously people are having, you know, they don't like the optics of ICE, you know, deporting people, breaking into people's houses, you know, throwing them out of the country.
I don't know what that word is, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, they don't like the look, you know, ICE, you know, the Immigration Customs Enforcement. Okay. How about you rename it? National Immigration Customs Enforcement. NICE. Who can have a problem with NICE?
That's terrific.
Thank you.
I'm making you Secretary of the Border Security.
I don't know if I want that.
Brian,
that's nice. That's a very
That's a big honor.
That's a big responsibility.
Now, Brian, to be fair to me, I think I came up with the changing of the name, and you came up with the national part of it.
That's right.
So I think I get
co-chairs.
No credit for saying NICE first.
Did you say NICE?
I said nice. We can check the tape, I think.
I'll check the tape.
Check the tape.
If you did, I owe you a big apology.
And I think national was where you chimed in. But we'll see.
I don't remember specifically. What do you think about our idea, Mr. President?
Wait, what does nice stand for again?
National Immigration Customs Enforcement.
What about Weiss?
White immigration.
Yes.
We can bounce
German
it off, but
white.
Here's the thing about Weiss doesn't really mean anything, whereas nice does mean something.
How about Weiss?
Well, male?
Weiss. Non-brown?
Non-brown.
Weiss.
Okay. See, here's what I'm saying. The optics. You understand optics?
Well, what was that word again?
Optics.
The way things look.
The way things look. The way things
look. Why don't you guys say the way things look and stop confusing Trump?
Okay, so what I'm saying is you can accuse the Democrats of switching it from illegal alien to undocumented workers, right? They've taken it and they put in kind of a happy spin on something to make it more palatable. Turnabout is fair play. You've heard that one?
Never.
Okay. Well, turnabout.
Okay.
Do you know what a turnabout is? Fair play. They did that.
Okay. Okay.
Now you beat them at their own game by taking ICE.
Trump beats them.
And turn it into nice.
Trump beats. I love this.
Who could have a problem with nice?
They're losers. Trump's
Who
winner.
Could say we want to abolish nice?
Yeah. It's right there in the name.
That's terrific. I love this. It's so terrific.
Okay. Sorry, what was the next? This one again?
We haven't decided yet.
It says Trump, live now, railing against immigrants while sitting beside the photo of his immigrant mother. Shame.
All right.
Michael Moore, Don Lemon, or Rosie O'Donnell?
It feels, well, a couple things. I always say this news wise, I hope it's not Don Lemon. Because
it's a lot of editorializing.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll go Rosie with the mom.
I totally agree. I don't think, no matter how much Don Lemon injects his opinion, I don't think this is him. Michael Moore, this actually seems a little tame. So somewhere between the last tweet and this tweet, it doesn't feel like Michael. I also think it's Rosie.
I'm playing from behind, so I'll send Michael.
Okay.
Present.
Do you know, can you see the difference between Michael Moore and Rosie O'Donnell?
No
there?
Idea who's who, but I'll
Michael's
tell you.
On the right.
Okay.
And Rosie's on the left.
Michael's the lesbian on the right. Rosie's the lesbian. Okay. It's not Rosie. She's too busy stuffing her mouth to be tweeting all these words.
She can't eat and type?
No. Is that she's got burgers and french fries.
Okay.
Michael Moore. I better go.
By the way, naming Ice Nice is like naming Roseanne Rosie. Mm. In terms of the same same thing, yes.
Optics.
I better go with the brown guy in the middle because
Don Lemon.
Because look, why would you put that picture up unless it was the guy?
Uh huh.
Oh, okay.
So you're treating this like a police lineup.
That's
or something,
right.
He's just a person. Okay.
Guilty. Must have done something.
Guilty. Okay.
Guilty. Okay.
If not this, then
here
something.
We go.
The blog belongs to Michael Moore.
Wow.
God damn it.
Are we all knotted up?
Now
we are.
I just lost.
We're all two and one. All right, let me take a minute and tell you about Power Speed and the Clash of Styles. Two of boxing's most explosive punchers go toe to toe for the welterweight world title. Boxing's only 8-division world champion, Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao, returns to the U.S. to defend his title, going against former 4-division world champion and must. All action guy. Adrian, the problem Broner. Adrian is all action. Of course, Pacquiao's all action, too. This is not going to be two guys feeling each other out. This is going to be a slugfest in the middle of the ring. Pacquiao's in his fourth reign as the 147-pound champion. Broner's looking to begin his second reign as the welterweight titleist. They're both world class, and this is going to be an all action fight. Get ready for explosive action. Bell to Bell, Saturday, January 19th. That's 9 p.m. That's coming up this Saturday. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific time, live on pay-per-view. All right, let's do one more tiebreaker, and we'll figure out how we're going to break this tie somehow. But go ahead, Dawson.
Only two of these things is actually getting built, brick by brick. One, your damned border wall. Or, two, Mueller's case against you. Guess which it is. Is it Judd Apatow?
Loser.
George Takei?
Double loser.
Or Trevor Noah?
No idea who that is.
No idea.
He took over on The Daily Show.
Okay.
He's South African, I think?
Yes.
Yep.
You like South Africa, Don?
I don't even know where that is.
Well, it's
the south part of Africa.
Yeah, it's like...
So he's an illegal.
No.
Illegal immigrant.
No, I think he's here legally, but it's like Africa, but with white people.
Good. Okay. Terrific.
I don't mean so all.
Good spin terrific. You put on
no,
that.
No, the black people are in charge, but there's.
What?
it's hard to explain. It's like Africa if it had a bunch of white people in it. But
what are you smoking?
I'm trying to explain South Africa. It's like, think of Africa.
Okay. No idea where that is, but
picture white people in Africa.
Okay.
And they used to be in charge.
Of course.
Yeah. And now the black people are in charge.
I'm very confused. Let's move on. This makes no sense
to me. Let's not try to explain apartheid.
It is weird
too.
When you kind of just lay it out that way. Yeah. This doesn't feel like Judd Apatow, does it?
He's outspoken.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right.
Could be. I have a hunch of who it is.
Me too.
Well, go ahead.
My hunch is George Takei. I would be very surprised if it was Trevor Noah, and I think it would be a little funnier if it was Judd. So I'm going to say George Takei.
I totally agree. There's something about your damned border wall that felt a little old-fashioned and a little – but had a lot of heart. So I'm going to also say George Takei.
That's very Takei-esque.
I'm going to go with the Chinese guy in the middle.
That's
okay.
Takei.
We all might
Japanese.
Right.
Yeah, I think we all think it's Takei, so it's not going to do much to
can
solve
we all
our
win?
We did
let's all
one,
just
Mike.
Be winners. We could all be winners.
Or losers.
That's right.
There can be no winner without losers.
All right,
and the blog belongs to George Takei.
Woo! Go us!
Terrific.
All right, Donald, guys. You won again, buddy.
This feels so good.
Two-time winner.
Two-time winner.
I never lose.
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blog.
All right, we need to go to break. We'll do news. But we have the nice clip from stage to figure out.
Oh, was it?
I don't remember that.
We're the Anaheim show.
Stage at Anaheim. We'll figure out if Brian did the whole concept or the end word.
The button.
Part of the
easy.
Button.
Come on.
Easy.
All right, here we go, sir.
I just feel like we should give him a name like Nice instead of Ice. You know what I mean? I feel like Rachel Maddow would back off a little bit, if the abbreviation was Nice instead of Ice.
National Immigration.
National Immigration, right. So let's call him Nice. Look.
All right.
Team effort.
All right.
Sorry about that.
Co-secretaries.
I thought it was me.
That's all right. That's how most people are wired. We're sociopaths. All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll come back with news and Kyle Dunnigan right after this.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, it's Eric Stromer.
Hey, it's kind of my thing.
Hey, I'm going to... All right, sorry. Hi, I'm Eric Stromer.
Let's not live in the past. You should listen to Ace on the House because me and Stromer dispense building advice every Saturday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
I might even go as far as to say professional building advice.
Hey, get me some coffee.
There you go. I mean, here I go. I'm running.
Ace on the House, every Saturday on Corolla Digital. Download now at adamcarolla.com, the Podcast One app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Ace on the House.